The Purple Project Podcast in 2022 rolls on. Eddie Greer here for another edition of the Purple Project Podcast Daily Edition here. And you're going to get a double dose here today on this edition of the podcast. Obviously, there was nothing out yesterday, obviously, due to the holiday ringing in 2022. The new year is here. And here for a couple of minutes here, K-State LSU on Tuesday night. There were a lot of concerns even going in this past week about possible LSU not showing up in their number, in their coat, in their roster numbers were down and whatnot. But seems like everything from what I heard yesterday in some of the local papers here in Little Apple are pretty much heading towards playing this ball game. And so, you know, everybody talking about LSU, you know, having the motivation. Of course, you know, they worry about that too. But what about our guys as well? K-State 7-5, you have an opportunity. And I don't want to sound calling people out for not calling this well. You know, this is not an important game, you know, all this other stuff. But it is. It's for, in my opinion, it is a big deal. K-State comes out, and yeah, LSU might not have their guys, but we talked about this for what, the last several weeks on these podcasts, whether it's the daily or weekly edition of the podcast, especially the last couple ones, anyways, about, you know, they're gonna have to have athletes inside of the ball. There's no question about that. It's whether K-State can come out. You know, everyone's wondering LSU, you know, they're going to be slacking off, whatever, you know, they're 6-6, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, they're still LSU, they're still a good team, and they're going to have their coaching staff, all off, example, Florida, they're going to have a lot to show for. So obviously, they're going to have Brian Kelly, who, former coach of Notre Dame, going to come into LSU and all that other stuff, and We're gonna find out for our guys as well. K-State has an opportunity again to get 8 wins if they can do that against a talented LSU team. Who, I don't care who's on the field for LSU. I don't care that they're walk on. Their walk on might be talented. Who knows? I don't know. Well, the D-line could be, you know, a freshman, but could be a 4 or 5 star. Who knows? We don't know. All I know is this: K-State opportunity. For the second time in 3 years with Chris Klieman, can put 8 wins on the board. That's a big deal. And for, I've heard mixed feelings. It, mainly the fact that we're gonna get rolled on for the most part. I heard other people saying, LSU didn't have to put a whole lot of stock in this game or not, but you never know. You don't want to come up with that lazy ass mindset. Excuse my language. You don't come up with that mindset that, okay, you know, they're going to mail it in, things like that. You better be on, K-State better be on the A game in this instance. So, you know, we're getting closer. We're getting closer finally to playing this game. K-State, golden opportunity. This is a big deal, in my opinion. Everybody has their opinions, but hey, it's my podcast, and I say it is a big deal. K-State goes down there, goes to Houston, and shows up. This is Skylar Thompson's last game, Noah Johnson's last game. A few others as well. Brady Stubblefield, who's been huge all year long on the defense side of the ball. We'll talk about that tomorrow, tomorrow's edition of the Daily Podcast. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, you don't want to take nothing for granted. You don't want to come in here and all this other stuff. K-State coming off of 2 straight losses. So, I mean, you had a whole opportunity to beat Baylor, didn't do it at home, and then you coughed up a loss on the road. Recruiting staff was not prepared for this game. So I might be sounding brutally honest, but yeah, you know, people like it when I'm brutally honest. So there's that for you as well. The K-State receivers, I haven't talked about them yet here. I'm going to just go ahead and talk about them briefly here. It'll be interesting to see what Colin Klein does here with Malik Knowles, Phillip Brooks. Brooks has been pretty good most of the year. Malik Knowles, I don't think it's targeted enough in this offense. I've been saying that since Malik Knowles has been on this team. I don't think he gets targeted enough. it goes down the talent line. The talent is in the receivers and tight ends. And I referred to on one of the weeklies a couple weeks ago. I think, you know, with the talent, with the size, I know Nick Leonard is a blocker, but Sammy Wheeler and Danley Montepebe, I'm kind of disappointed that K-State, Cordy Messingham, mainly him, before he got canned, did not use this guy enough. Yeah, Montepebe missed maybe one or two games, I know for sure. But he hasn't been targeted enough. We've Landry Weber, Cade Warner's come on this year at the wide receiver position. Landry Weber, who's been here forever. The list goes on from there. I suspect, you know, last time we're down in Houston, Brian Pringle showed out. I remember that. Jesse Ertz, Brian Pringle, the slant and go, that seal Texas A&M's fate there. So I'm looking for something like that. If I had a bold prediction there, somebody's got to break out. And I think Malik Knowles, I think either he or Imana Bebe is going to break out in this game when K-State does throw the football. So it'll be, we know what Deuce is going to do. Deuce is going to, I even said on the running backs preview, if you haven't checked that out, please do that. But yeah, I said that, you know, he's going to possibly get two touchdowns at best here if the O-line can do what they need to do, right? So yeah, the wide receivers, the talent's there from top to bottom. It'll be interesting to see what they do with their. Let's see, I'm probably going to click on this real quick. Here, obviously, yeah, Phillip Brooks, your leading receiver coming into this game, 38 catches, 474 yards, and two TDs, if that is correct on that. No, yeah, it is correct here. I want to confirm that. Yeah, he's the leading receiver yards-wise, but catching-wise, Deuce Vaughn is with 47 catches. Almost, he's 3 yards behind Brooks in three touchdowns right there. And Malik Knowles, he's going to be over 400 yards receiving by the end of this Texas Bowl if he's thrown the football. So you're going to have three receivers there that's going to be over 400 yards. And the next one is Daniel Imadabebe with only 10 catches. That's what I'm talking about right there. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, K-State, you got to be ready to play this ball game. So we're less than 72 hours. Yeah, we're coming up on, actually less than 48 hours, I'd probably say, from this game being played in Houston. So all arrows are pointing up in that direction. Hopefully, K-State will be on their A-game come Tuesday night. The Purple Project Podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcast. We're on Apple, Spotify, Audio Boom, and a few more. That is going to do it for this special edition of the Daily. Stay tuned for a lot more. And of course, I will talk about the K-State women's game, basketball game against 10th ranked Baylor. It's Eddie Greer for the Pearl Project Podcast, another Daily edition in the books. Go Cats! We'll talk to you next edition of Triple P.